Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen podcast, brought to you in partnership with Wolverhampton's local radio station, WCR-FM. You can hear it on 101.8 FM, also across the city in DAB digital radio, and also via WCRFM.com or by telling your smart speaker to play WCR-FM. In this podcast, we're raising awareness around breast cancer. Kirsty Westwood is one of my colleagues here at WCR-FM, herself a cancer survivor. And we were joined in the studios by Amardeep Kaur, who had organised a fashion show called Strike a Pose for survivors of breast cancer. And two of those people from the fashion show were Shindy and Julie. First of all, it was great to welcome them to our studios after listening to Chaka Khan's I'm Every Woman. Welcome to you all.
Thank
Hello.
Oh, it's good to have you. Now, you know, being on the radio is not very brave compared to what you've done. You've done some immense stuff. And that tune, particularly Amandeep, you know, that was something people were loving, that one.
Oh, absolutely. When Julie came onto the runway, the place just lit up.
Right.
All of her friends and family got on their feet. They were so amazing. Throughout the whole process, they bought lots of tickets and raffle prize tickets as well. Right. But on the day, they had her back for sure.
So was that your tune, Julie?
That was my tune,
right,
yes.
Yeah,
and it just, I heard it on the radio the one day and I thought, we were choosing a song and I thought, that's it, that's the one I'm going to do.
Right.
And, you know, it's just a perfect tune to bounce down the catwalk to, you know, I love it. So it was brilliant.
And how did you feel doing it? You know, I'm okay sitting in a, you know, I always talk about extroverts and introverts and, you know, I sit in a room on my own most of the time talking into this thing and nobody might be listening at all. But going on a catwalk and you need to have a little bit of extrovert in your soul there, Shindy?
I think, I don't know where I got the confidence from.
Right.
But I just knew it in my heart, I have to do this.
Right.
Yeah. You know, for not just for myself, for everybody.
Well, I admire you greatly,
yeah,
you know, for doing that and finding it. And actually, if it didn't come naturally, even more well done, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, and she was brilliant.
And are you more of a cat? This is for you, is it? It's your normal way of life.
No, people don't believe me when I said I used to be the quiet, shy one at school. But even more so after breast cancer, now I just go for everything.
Right.
And actually, Julie, she also jumps out of planes for charity as well.
Well,
she does lots of amazing, amazing stuff. So,
well, when Shindy said I had to do it, what went through my head is I could do many things. One thing I wouldn't do is jump out of a plane. It's what came into my head immediately. But again, you know, we'll come back to why you've actually done it. But just give us a bit of the feeling that you had on the night, you know, and the experience of it. Because obviously, you were down at the Wolves.
Yep.
I've seen some of the pictures. People can look on YouTube and find you.
Yes.
And see what's about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go on our Instagram page, dharma.pr, you'll be able to see all of the clips. We were at the Molyneux Stadium, the WV1 bar, which was amazing. It was such a great space. But for us, it was just an amazing night. Mm. I mean, from just the people that were there, from the atmosphere that was created, we had a fantastic drag act called Miss Lips,
right,
who sort of started everything off with Crazy in Love. And we had Prestige Drummers, who are Bangra doll drummers, so
right,
they just got things going. And then everybody, I think, was there to celebrate life, to celebrate these amazing 7 breast cancer survivors who were our models. We also had them dressed up in Indian fusion fashion, so they looked amazing. But it was all about them as individuals, their clothes, hair, makeup, the songs that they picked. It was about them and them as people. So,
and where did the idea come from?
For the fashion show itself?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So many,
who
many...
do we blame? who do...
So it sort of started just before COVID, actually. I spoke to a couple of people and I thought, oh, it'd be amazing to do something. Many, many years ago, I was a library Saturday assistant at what is now the Library of Birmingham,
but
it used to be Central Library in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And I had an amazing manager, fantastic person who really believed in me. Unfortunately, she passed away, which was really, really sad. And I just thought, when an opportunity comes to do something where I can raise money for breast cancer, get amazing women on the runway, I'll take the opportunity. And an opportunity turned up. So COVID happened, couldn't do anything during that time. Julie and I spoke.
Yes.
She was actually my first person. We'd had a conversation. And then Shindy came along and everybody else. And I think we sort of kicked this off around about July, maybe. So the event itself is only it took 10 weeks to put together.
Wow.
So that's what we kind of did in that time. And then lots of people sort of gravitated towards it. So it just grew, really.
Mm. Yeah. And Shinny, what did your friends and family think of you? You know, sort of, because they probably knew this didn't come naturally to you, but they must, you know, what did they think of you?
They were just amazed about the whole thing. And they said, oh, how did you do it?
Yes.
And I said, well, in my head, I wanted to raise awareness, about the breast cancer and raising, money for the charity and all that. And
did they think you were a bit daft? Did they think you were a bit mad? Or all of you, did they think, mom's lost it or whatever,
No, actually, they were really proud of me. They were saying, my grandsons and all the family were saying how proud they are.
I bet they were. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. So what about your family, Julie? They thought, oh, we
did. Well, when I first mentioned it, because when Amandeep first asked me to do it, I was like, oh, it's something in your head. You always think, well, I'm never going to get that opportunity. I couldn't do that. And wing walking and jumping out of planes comes easier to me than catwalking. But it's just been really exciting. And but my family, they just thought, that's something Julie will do and just get on with it. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, we're here to raise awareness around breast cancer. And, so that, and we want to be encouraging women to go and get checked out, and everything we're going to do. And Julie, you've obviously been on this journey of survival, let's be blunt about what this is. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, I was 42. I was got two young children, my husband. So I'd got 4 and a 6, nearly 7 year old, working fit and well. Nice. Went to the gym. I was a little slimmer then and, busy and active, just moved house. So I'd been quite stressed out. And then one Sunday morning, lying in bed, and my husband noticed a lump.
Right.
On the side of my right boob. And sat up. I used to check myself, but you don't always, it's important to check, but you don't always notice them. And unfortunately, it was a Sunday. I couldn't immediately go to the doctors, but I was straight there on the Monday morning.
Right. Well, you didn't ignore it. That's the first thing.
I didn't ignore it. No. I mean, I'm all for smear everything. Yeah. I'll just go for everything. My doctor was absolutely brilliant. He fast-tracked me to New Cross Hospital.
Right.
Go through the usual routine test, biopsies. That failed. I had to go for another one. So it's the whole waiting game and, I was very matter-of-fact and thought, let's just go. I'd got a really good support network, family and close friends at that point.
Yeah.
Were you not
fearful?
Yes, of course I was. But, I got two young children and they were too young. I didn't ever mention the word
absolutely.
Cancer at the time. I mean, they just used to know mommy was poorly and mommy was going to feel a bit tired. And even when it came to then I had chemo, had a lumpectomy and then had to go through chemo. But all through that, I tried to just get on with life. I'd go out, and I got to know my little pattern, my routine when in between the chemo, when I was going to be feeling, it got shorter and shorter as people who've had chemo know. But I'd always make the best of it. I still did the school run when I could. I didn't want to just lay there feeling sorry for myself. That's not the kind of person I am. But everybody's different. And, I realised that. But, and then radiotherapy. But we were talking about this earlier on. I think the point for me was I got through chemo and it's not pleasant. But, you just get on with it because, it's doing its job. And then I went for radiotherapy and that really shocked me because it's just so tiring and draining, taking yourself off to hospital every day for 4 weeks because I was so young. I had an additional week of radiotherapy. But then after that, you think, all the treatment's over. But then sort of a few weeks passed, I was exhausted. And then you hit that wall all of a sudden all these regular appointments stopped. My diary was full. You know, it's like, oh, and you've got something to keep
you feel,
going.
Do you feel a bit left high and dry then? Are you just waiting to see what the effect's going to be?
Definitely.
For those who don't know, you know, you're just waiting.
And I think while you're having your treatment, people are sort of, you know, asking, you know, supporting you. And then all of a sudden it's like the treatment's done and you've got to just carry on. And then, you know, the appointments are less and less. And I did hit a brick wall and I was down for a few months and I wasn't myself. But then, as always, I just pull myself together. Right. I think I've got two small children, you know, a family to look after. Just get on with it, you know. I've never been one to sort of sit there and mope.
A lot, you know, praise to you, because that's a lot easier said than done, you know. So I know you say it very naturally, but it's a very difficult thing to do. And Shindy, if I may, is, you know, give away, you know, you're 69 years young your cancer was picked up through a regular scan, was it?
Checkup. Okay. Yes. I had a letter from the hospital, you know, for the routine checkup.
Yeah.
And which was last year. I was 68 then. Young.
Indeed. Absolutely. Let's keep that young thing in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I said to my husband, it's cold, I won't go. And he said, no, you must go.
Oh, well done him.
Yes. And I was just thinking, if I didn't go when I did, the cancer would have spread it more. Mm. But I was the lucky one. They caused the cancer at the early stages. And but I couldn't believe it, you know, when the consultant said, you have cancer. Mm. It wouldn't go in.
I've not had to go down that journey, you know, I have to say. So I'm privileged. Kirsty has been on that journey.
I have, all of my family, actually, all of my mum's side of family have had cancer, from throat cancer to cancer of the jaw, breast cancer, ovarian cancer. My brother had testicular cancer. I thought I got away with it. I actually had fallopian tube cancer, but it was caught late because I'd moved house. I was extending, I was knocking out brick walls, doing an extension, all kinds of things. And I just thought, I don't feel right. And I used to go walking a lot. I felt tired. I thought, this is, I'm going to go and get checked up. And I was fast tracked because of my family history. And it was picked up. And I remember having the consultant, sitting in the consultant, and my husband broke down, was very upset. And I was upright. And he said, you don't seem to be taking this in. I said, my mum had esophageal and stomach cancer. I've seen the worst I've ever seen. My father's actually going through ampulla-vada cancer, which is where the bile duct was. I said, so if I get it, so what? It's my turn. Hmm. And I said, you know, my mum had the worst. So if it's better than what she had, then we just got to crack on. I had a boy who was 6 at the time, couldn't show it to him. And that's just how my brain was. I said, right, I'm going to ask you all these questions because I don't know if I'm going to see you again. If I don't get them now, I'm never going to get them. And he said, I need to examine you. I said, okay, so do I need you to go behind the screen? He said, take your clothes off. I said, I'm keeping my socks on. I've only just met you.
Everybody faces it in different ways, but actually it is facing up to it, you know. And again, Shindy, you know, I admire your husband for making you go, and you must be eternally grateful
to him. My husband, when they made an appointment to see the consultant. My husband, he went with me, and he was just sitting there quiet.
Mm.
And I think he didn't believe it, you know, it doesn't go in straight away.
Yeah.
And I said to my husband, do you want to ask any questions? And he just froze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think listening to the C word.
Yes.
I think in the ethnic minority, they think it's death.
Right. Mm. Right. Yeah, they just think it's an immediate death sentence and there's no hope. Yeah.
Yes. So.
Well, you're living hope. You know, there you are.
Yes.
There you are. And you've done your stuff on the catwalk as well.
Yes. And ladies, exactly. I have to say, you look fantastic. If people saw you in the street, they wouldn't know that you'd had any illness whatsoever. Yeah. So, doing this fashion show has it's very difficult when your body changes. Anyway, as a woman and as a man, as you get older. But when you have something taken away from you or added to you, and then go on a catwalk, and when you're not feeling that it's really you, it's not the you you've known, you're now this new person with either a bit more, a bit less, or a bit in a funny place. Yes. Well, or whatever they've done to you.
Yeah. See, Kirsty can say all these things, which is great, you know. So,
to go and strut your stuff and have that confidence, you know, and empower other women is a fantastic thing to do.
We want to...
Sorry, I'd like to say thank you to Amandeep to build build our confidence.
Yeah.
A big thank
definitely.
You.
Definitely,
yes.
100%. So, no, we'll come back to Amandeep. We'll let her get a word in there. I promise you. I just wanted, you know, I wanted to touch on, because we want to encourage women to go and get checked out. You know, do the routine. Any worries at all, go and get checked out. If you don't feel right, go and get checked out. Now, I am guessing, and I'm probably guessing accurately, but I hope I'm wrong, and that is you will have met people going through treatment with you and they didn't come out the other side and survive. And that just underlines the importance of getting checked out, doesn't it? Julie, did you meet people perhaps who then were lost?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, while you're going for chemo, I mean, I used to go in there. I was young, fit and well, and I'd sit there, you know, with my sister-in-law or my mother-in-law or whoever was supporting me and see all these people in there with me knowing that, you know, they weren't going to make it. So that was difficult. But at the same time, it almost gives you that push to, you know, I'm going to be okay and, you know, I can sort of go forward. But obviously not everybody does. And, you know, everyone's different. But we've just got to speak about it as much as we can and share our experiences. So it makes it easier for people who can't, you know, can't move on or talk about it.
Because what you want to do and you know, what you're doing is tremendous, and we'll talk about, I want to go back to the catwalk in a minute or two, Simon, and get Amandeep to talk about the future, really, and other things you can possibly do. But this raising awareness and not dodging the fact that, you know, you're here as survivors and you know, wow, and the other people you work with there, not everybody does survive, and that underlines, please get checked out. And and Kirsty, again, there's a big push in the city as well to get checked out.
Absolutely.
You've got the community, you've got the health hub here in the Mander Centre as well. There's lots of places you can get checked out, and please don't sort of put your head under the pillow and say, oh, it wouldn't happen to me. Yeah. You know, please do that. And just the way you are, but actually, girl, you're amazing just the way you are. That's a good message for us, isn't it? I mean, you know, you must have been saying that to lots of the women you've been supporting and putting this together, the Striker Post together, and encouraging them and building up their confidence.
Oh, absolutely. And one of my favourite memories is our dress rehearsal that we did. Mm-hmm. And we had just two chairs on one side of we had a dance studio that we'd booked, and we just kind of had two chairs on one side and just made them go from one end to the other doing the songs again and again. But it was so amazing because on that particular day we had some of the unveiling of the outfits that they were going to wear. Ooh. And so seeing their faces light up was one of my best memories, actually. I mean, obviously the event was fantastic, and I think a good kind of sign that event is really good is that when people don't want to leave. Yeah. So we had an after party and they did not want to go, and the venue were kind of ushering us out.
You did an immense amount of work before you got to that moment, because, you know, we're looking at diversity here, you know, and you've been able to be inclusive, which has been fantastic. You're also breaking some taboos.
Yes.
Shall we say breast?
Yes.
Let's just say on the radio. We have said it. We have said it, and it's important that is in the equation here, really, that we're not afraid. We don't hide things, because it's when you hide things, that's when cancer wins.
Absolutely. And I think when you look at the lineup of the ladies, they're all from a different background, and that was very, very important to us. So there's lots around there about inclusivity and diversity and breaking down those taboos. So certainly in the South Asian community, let's be okay with saying breasts. Let's be okay with talking about breast cancer. And that was a really key message. So when you see the lineup, you see these amazing models who've been so fantastic, putting themselves out there, you can see yourself as well in them. So it's not sort of like you're pushing different sort of communities onto one side. You want to look at them and kind of go, okay, let's have a conversation about it.
Yeah. And have you got any future ideas?
Well, were having a little bit of a chat. Somebody approached me about doing something around prostate cancer. And right. Chris Kirsten, I've been talking as well now. So maybe about testicular cancer.
Yeah.
It's about, like you said, let's say those words. Let's break those taboos. Let's have open, honest conversations. Let's not be scared as well. There is life after cancer.
Yeah.
Let's be open about that. Because I think sometimes when you say the C word, people just think, oh, this is going to go in one direction. And one of our models, Gerge, who couldn't be here, but she's amazing. She talked about how when she was diagnosed with cancer, a lot of people phoned her up and they were paying her respects, their respects to her.
Wow.
And so she was like, no, I'm actually fine. Medicine has progressed. I've got a great doctor. He's saying I'm absolutely fine. So we want to just get that message out there that there's medicine is progressing and we want to talk about it more. And don't be afraid.
And I mean, you know, okay, I'm the only bloke in the room, so I'll speak up. I'll speak up for our side. And we have talked about some of the I don't know, the holes in the system, really. So being of a certain age, you know, you get sent kits to do. I always do it. You go and get checked out for your blood pressure or whatever. And I'm thinking, actually, the two biggest killers for me, for men, are prostate cancer and suicide. And I think no one's testing me for that, you know what?
Exactly.
So therefore there's an element by which in community we need to be able to do this, because it may not always come. And that's, again, don't hide, bring it out there. Let's find a way of bringing that forward. And you're in touch with a few local charities as well that give support too.
Absolutely. So we're raised money for Breast Cancer Now and Ladies Fighting Breast Cancer. But on this journey, you meet so many other amazing communities too. So there's Let's Talk Hope and also Breast Cancer Action Group. And it's about what Julie was saying earlier about the fact that when you have cancer, you can have lots of appointments and stuff. But afterwards, that aftercare is just as important. So Ladies Fighting Breast Cancer have their own choir. They opened, I think they were at the opening of the Commonwealth Games. So it gave these ladies a sense of community, a sense of joy. And then you've got Breast Cancer Action Group that actually recently they went on a canal boat ride.
Right.
So 12 of them got together. There were three ladies who had secondary cancer, but they were all making a memory. They got off, had fish and chips, went back on. It was like really lovely. It was health and well-being at its best.
And really. if you know, people are listening here, they know of people in Wolverhampton that are need a bit of support. Where's the best kind of place to signpost people to? How do we do that?
So if you go on Facebook, there's Ladies Fighting Breast Cancer. So they're a fantastic charity, been around for 23 years and do some great community work. Let's Talk Hope in Sandwell is a really great community too. They do lots around mental health as well. And Breast Cancer Action Group is a great one in Wolverhampton.
Right.
And they are very action orientated, which obviously the word is there, but they do some really fantastic stuff. So those are your three that I would probably recommend.
Absolutely brilliant. You know, well, thank you all for coming in.
It's been
really good. We're going to take our interview. We're going to turn it into a podcast. We'll put it on the website if anybody missed it. We'll put the links into the show notes there as well. So we really are raising awareness that way. And then you can ping it out then and you can, you know, you've done the really brave stuff getting on the catwalk. But you've done, you know, less brave today. Come chat to me on the radio. You know, it's not too bad, isn't it? But thank you all very much
indeed for being open,
telling your stories. And And I firmly believe that conversation like this save lives.
Definitely.
So thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you. Kirsty, that was fun.
Oh, it was great. But it actually leads into a little news bulletin. There's a pilot initiative been launched over a 16-week period by the City of Wolverhampton Council's public health team in partnership with the NHS Black Country Integrated Care Board and Total Health. It's seen GP practices proactively contact residents who hadn't attended bowel, cervical or breast cancer screening, which is really, really important, and speak to them about the benefits of undertaking the process and responding to any anxieties, questions, perceived barriers or any fears that they've got. So it's a really, really good thing.
My thanks to Kirsty, Amandeep, Shindy and Julie for talking so openly and honestly about the journeys that they have been on, and encouragement to get tested out. And if you're feeling a bit weird, then get it checked out as well. And if there's a lump there, then definitely go and see what it is. My thanks also to Christopher O'Brien, who has edited this episode for you. And if you want any more information, then please do look in the show notes. If you've got any stories or news, you can always email me via chris@wsafm.com. And that's it for this episode. I look forward to you joining me next time on the Chris Allen Podcast.